gathered together at the house of Vrindavan Ananda Prabhu and Gopani Mataji to welcome the all-merciful forms of Balaram, Subhadra and Jagannath into the Everything is the property of Krishna. The source of all suffering is when we think that we are this body or anything in relation to this body is mine. This illusion alone perpetuates the miseries of the repeated birth and death. Krishna explains in Gita, Loktarama Jagatapasam Sarva Lokamaheshwara Suridam Sarva Bhutanam Gyatvamam Shanti Mrichchati.
भगवान कृष्ण गीता में बताते हैं कि मैं ही सब यज्ञों का भोक्ता हूँ और सब कुछ सब यज्ञों का स्वामी भी मैं ही हूँ।
श्रील प्रभुपाद declares this particular verse to be the peace formula.
प्रभुपाद जी बताते हैं कि ये शांति का सूत्र है।
The sages understanding Krishna to be the ultimate enjoyer of all sacrifices.
जो संत होते हैं वो जानते हैं कि भगवान सब यज्ञों के भोक्ता हैं।
The Lord of all demigods and planets.
ये सब जो लोगों के स्वामी भी वही हैं।
And the benefactor and well-wisher of all living beings.
और सब जीवात्माओं के हितैषी हैं।
Such a person alone can achieve real peace.
ऐसे व्यक्ति को सच्ची शांति प्राप्त हो सकती है।
This body is a home for the soul.
ये शरीर जो है ये आत्मा के लिए घर के समान है।
The eternal soul is residing within this body on a temporary basis.
ये नित्य आत्मा जो है कुछ समय के लिए इस शरीर में निवास कर रही है।
But the body is the property of God.
लेकिन ये शरीर जो है भगवान की संपत्ति है।
As is the mind.
और मन भी ऐसा ही है।
While living in this body, we develop so many attachments.
और इस शरीर में रहते हुए हम अनेक आसक्ति पैदा करते हैं।
And we call them our own.
और हम कहते हैं कि हमारा स्वयं का है।
My husband, my wife, my children, my parents, my home, my property, my furniture, my animals.
और बताने लगते सोचने लगते हैं कि मेरा घर है, मेरे पति है, मेरी पत्नी है, मेरे रिश्तेदार हैं, मेरे बच्चे हैं।
My money, my skills.
और मेरे पैसा मेरी योग्यताएं।
These are all delusions.
ये सब जो है भ्रम है।
The beginning of spiritual life is to accept the truth that everything is the property of Krishna. And I am the eternal soul, part and parcel of Krishna, who by nature is his eternal servant.
आध्यात्मिक जीवन की शुरुआत ये है कि जानना कि सब कुछ भगवान श्री कृष्ण का है और मैं भी भगवान का अंश हूँ और उनका नित्य सेवक हूँ।
To just speak like this does not bring realization.
जो सिर्फ बोलने से इसका साक्षात्कार नहीं होता।
We have to act on this platform to gradually develop an understanding.
हमें उस स्तर पर कार्य करना चाहिए जिससे कि हम समझ को प्राप्त कर सकें।
That is why the process of putting the deities in the home is very important.
इसीलिए घर में विग्रह को स्थापना करना ये बहुत महत्वपूर्ण है।
To recognize and to have a focus by which we can practically apply this recognition in our life.
ये बात को स्वीकार करना और एक मध्यम केंद्र होना जिससे कि हम इस साक्षात्कार को जीवन में पालन कर सके।
The devotees put tilak on 12 parts of their bodies.
जैसे भक्त जो है अपने शरीर के 12 भाग में तिलक लगाते हैं।
This is so that every day we recognize that the body is a temple of God.
जिससे कि हम हर दिन ये याद रख सकें कि शरीर भगवान का मंदिर है।
When we have the tilak on our body, it reminds us, I have no right to use this body for my own purposes.
जब हमारे शरीर में तिलक होता है तो हमें याद दिलाते हैं कि मेरे को ये शरीर को अपने आप के उपयोग करने का कोई अधिकार नहीं है.
God is living within this body.
भगवान इस शरीर में निवास करते हैं.
The temple is a place to worship God and nothing else should ever take place in the temple.
मंदिर ये स्थान है जो कि भगवान की आराधना के लिए है और वहाँ और कुछ नहीं होना चाहिए.
When a devotee applies tilak to body, this is the consciousness that he or she should be in.
अगर भक्त जब तिलक लगाते हैं तो उनकी ये चेतना होनी चाहिए.
This body must be used as a place where Krishna will be satisfied with his worship.
ये शरीर को ऐसा उपयोग करना चाहिए जिससे कृष्ण जो है सेवा से संतुष्ट होंगे.
And similarly, when we put the deity in the home, we are recognizing the fact that this home belongs to Krishna.
इसी तरीके से जब हम विग्रह को घर में रखते हैं तो हम इस बात को स्वीकार कर रहे हैं कि ये घर भगवान कृष्ण का है.
And that means everything in it belongs to Krishna.
और इसका मतलब उसमें जो कुछ भी चीज है वो भी कृष्ण का है.
Nothing should be used except for what pleases Krishna.
हर एक चीज को सिर्फ कृष्ण की प्रसन्नता के लिए उपयोग करना
चाहिए. Whatever we cook should be offered to Krishna.
जो भी हम पकाते हैं वो कृष्ण को अर्पण करना चाहिए.
Whatever we speak should be for the pleasure of Krishna.
जो भी हम बोलते हैं वो कृष्ण को प्रसन्नता देने के लिए होना चाहिए.
In raising our family, we recognize that all the members of our family are Krishna's property that he has put under our care to raise in his service.
और जब हम बच्चों का पालन करते हैं तो हमें जानते हैं कि भगवान की संपत्ति है जो कि उन्होंने सौंपी है उसको पालन करने के लिए.
Thus the family comes together to bow down to the deities.
उस तरीके से परिवार एकत्रित होता है मूर्ति को प्रणाम करने के लिए.
To chant for the deities.
उनके लिए कीर्तन करने के लिए.
To dance for the deities.
उनके लिए नृत्य करने के लिए.
To make wonderful offerings of garments for the deities.
भगवान के लिए सुंदर वस्त्र अर्पण करने के लिए.
To orient the whole house with the understanding that he is the proprietor, he is the enjoyer, he is the king of my home.
ये बात को साक्षात्कार करने के लिए भगवान ही मेरे स्वामी हैं घर के और ये ही राजा हैं.
If a family lives like this, according to the Shastra, that home becomes Vaikuntha.
अगर परिवार इस तरीके रहता है तो शास्त्र के अनुसार वो घर वैकुंठ हो जाता है.
It is no longer this material world.
और वो एक भौतिक दुनिया नहीं रहता.
But a home that does not live by this reason, it is explained that home is a deep, dark well.
और जो घर इस सिद्धांत के अनुसार नहीं गया ऐसे बताया गया है कि वो एक अंधे कुएं के समान है.
So this is our choice.
तो ये हमारी जो है चयन का समय है.
To live in Vaikuntha or to live in a deep dark well.
क्या हम वैकुंठ में रहना चाहते हैं या अंधकूप में रहना चाहते
हैं? वृंदावन आनंद प्रभु एंड द्रौपदी माता जी आर वेरी वंडरफुल एग्जांपल्स ऑफ डिवोटीज.
वृंदावन प्रभु और द्रौपदी माता जी बहुत ही सुंदर भक्त हैं.
They have come to a Kolhapur especially for the purpose of devotional service.
ये विशेषता कोल्हापुर में भक्ति के लिए आए हैं.
They are trying to live very exemplary with Krishna in the center. And one of the most important functions of Grihastha is to live purely and to give charity to others.
और वो बहुत अच्छा जीवन बिताने का प्रयास कर रहे हैं और गृहस्थ का एक मुख्य कर्तव्य है कि शुद्ध रहना और उदार दिखाना.
The greatest form of charity is to give Krishna.
और सबसे बड़ी उदारता है दूसरों को कृष्ण देना.
We give Krishna by teaching what Krishna has given us in Bhagavad Gita.
और दूसरों को कृष्ण देना यानी वो सिखाना जो कृष्ण ने भगवत गीता में सिखाया है.
Helping people remain live moral, pure lives.
लोगों को बहुत शुद्ध जीवन बिताने में सहायता करना.
And the greatest charity is giving Krishna to others. In his most merciful form of his holy name.
और सबसे बड़ी उदारता है लोगों को भगवान के सबसे दयालु रूप में यानी पवित्र नाम के रूप में देना. हरे
कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे हरे हरे
हम उनका बहुत आभारी हैं.
Wonderful festival that we are having today.
ये सुंदर उत्सव जो आज हम मना रहे हैं यहाँ पर.
By the inspiration of and the Gosai family also, it's been so wonderfully preaching Krishna consciousness and exemplifying the true teachings of Bhagavad Gita here in Kolhapur.
और गोसाई फैमिली भी जो है भगवत गीता के सिद्धांत के अनुसार शुद्ध जीवन बिता रहे हैं।
So we are very, very grateful to them.
हम उनके प्रति बहुत कृतज्ञ हैं।
So today, by the inspiration of these two wonderful Krishna conscious families, many others have brought Lord Jagannath to be welcomed into their homes. और इन
दो परिवार की प्रेरणा से बहुत और दूसरे परिवार भी जगन्नाथ को अपने घर में ले आ रहे हैं।
So many Jagannaths. How many?
Seven.
That means 21. That means 28. 28 deities being opened today. In this little house of Kolhapur. Lord Jagannath is a very, very special deity.
भगवान जगन्नाथ का विग्रह बहुत विशेष है।
He is especially merciful to his devotees.
वो अपने भक्तों के प्रति विशेष कृपा रखते हैं।
How many of you have been to Jagannath Puri?
कितने जगन्नाथ पुरी गए?
Lord Jagannath resides on the Nilachala mountain along with Balaram and Subhadra, giving mercy to the whole universe.
भगवान जगन्नाथ बलराम और सुभद्रा के साथ नीलाचल पर्वत पर निवास करते हैं और पूरे ब्रह्मांड को कृपा बांट रहे हैं।
The story of the Jagannath deities is very wonderful.
भगवान जगन्नाथ की कथा यह बहुत सुंदर है।
And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he personally came to Jagannath Puri with his most beloved associates to teach us how to perfect our lives in this age of Kali Yuga by chanting the holy names and worshipping Lord Jagannath.
Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu swayam prakat hue aur Jagannath Puri mein rahe aur hume sikhaye kis tarike se unka naam kirtan aur bhagwan Jagannath ki seva kar sakte hain.
Lord Chaitanya once said that the Supreme Lord has appeared in three ways in this age of Kali.
एक बार चैतन्य महाप्रभु ने बताया कि भगवान तीन रूप में प्रकट हुए हैं कलयुग में।
In the form of water, he has come as the river Ganges.
पानी के रूप में वो गंगा देवी के रूप में।
In the form of wood, he has come as Balaram, Subhadra and Jagannath.
और लकड़ी के रूप में वो जगन्नाथ बलराम और सुभद्रा के रूप में।
And in the form of sound, he has come as his holy name. Lord Chaitanya was Krishna himself who descended in this age of Kali to teach us how to be devotees.
Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu jo swayam Krishna hai wo prakat hue hame dikhlane ke liye ki kaise bhakt banna chahiye.
He lived at Gambhira, just very close to Jagannath's temple.
वो गंभीरा में रहते थे जो कि जगन्नाथ मंदिर के बहुत पास।
Every morning when he would hear the conch shell blow announcing that the Mangal Aarti was coming, he would go with his associates to see the beautiful.
हर सुबह जब वो शंख की आवाज सुनते तो वो अपने संगियों के साथ भगवान जगन्नाथ का दर्शन करने जाते।
When Lord Chaitanya would see Jagannath, he would see the threefold bending form of Krishna playing on his flute.
जब चैतन्य महाप्रभु जगन्नाथ को देखते तो भगवान कृष्ण का श्याम सुंदर त्रिभंग ललित रूप देखते।
With great ecstasy, he would induce all the devotees to dance and to chant in sankirtan.
बड़े आनंद के साथ भक्तों को प्रेरित करते हैं कीर्तन और नृत्य करने के लिए।
There are many wonderful stories of Lord Jagannath giving mercy to his devotees.
भगवान जगन्नाथ अपने भक्तों को कृपा बांट रहे हैं इसकी बहुत सारी कथाएं हैं।
But we should know that the Lord's mercy is not always what we expect.
लेकिन हमें जानना चाहिए कि भगवान की कृपा मतलब वो नहीं जो हम हमेशा आशा करते हैं।
But it is always what is best.
लेकिन जो हमारे लिए सर्वोत्तम है वही
होता है। When you pray to Krishna to give you mercy, you have to be willing to expect anything.
जब हम भगवान से प्रार्थना करते हैं कृपा करने के लिए तो हमें कितनी भी चीज के लिए तैयार रहना चाहिए।
Sometimes we put in an application. Krishna, I want your mercy to be, I want new car, I want new clothes, I want a nice wife and husband and all of these things.
कभी हम भगवान को निवेदन करते हैं कि मेरे को कृपा की इस रूप में एक अच्छी कार और अच्छा पति अच्छा पत्नी कपड़े इस तरीके से।
But Krishna will examine your application very carefully.
लेकिन आपके निवेदन पत्र को भगवान बड़े ध्यान से पढ़ेंगे.
And then he will give you exactly what's best for your spiritual purification.
आपके आध्यात्मिक शुद्धिकरण के लिए सबसे अच्छा है वही चीज वो देंगे.
He may give you just what you asked for.
हो सकता है वही दे दें जो आप मांग रहे हो.
Or he may give you just the opposite.
या उसका बिल्कुल उल्टा दे दें.
But whatever he does is out of his divine power.
लेकिन जो भी वो करते हैं उनकी वो दिव्य कृपा से है.
In this regard, there was one very nice story.
इस संदर्भ में एक बहुत सुंदर कथा है.
There was a devotee, I believe his name was Murari.
एक भक्त थे जिनका नाम था मुरारी.
He was a very, very great devotee of Lord Jagannath.
वो भगवान जगन्नाथ के बहुत बड़े भक्त थे.
He lived in Puri.
वो पुरी में निवास करते
थे. Every day he would worship Jagannath with great love and devotion.
हर एक दिन वो भगवान जगन्नाथ की प्रेम से आराधना करते
थे. Day and night he was constantly chanting the holy names.
और दिन रात वो भगवान का नाम कीर्तन करते.
Whatever he did was only for Jagannath's pleasure.
जो भी वो करते वो भगवान जगन्नाथ को आनंद देने के.
He did not consider his own likes or dislikes.
वो अपने स्वयं की पसंद और नापसंद की परवाह नहीं करते. मुरारी के स्वप्न में प्रकट.
He said, "Please get me jackfruit."
और वो कहने लगे कि मेरे लिए पनस लेकर
आए. Ordinary. I want jackfruit for my own gardens.
मेरे को अपने बगीचे के लिए चाहिए पनस.
Murari understood this. What is he asking?
Murari सोचने लगे क्या पूछ रहे
हैं. In Puri, Jagannath has his gardens.
पुरी में भगवान जगन्नाथ के गार्डन होते हैं.
In those gardens, no one except Jagannath's personal pujaris are allowed in.
वहाँ पर भगवान जगन्नाथ के व्यक्तिगत पुजारी के अलावा और कोई नहीं जा सकता.
And they're closed at night.
और वो रात को बंद रहते.
And there are guards with sticks.
और वहाँ पर चौकीदार रहते लकड़ी हाथ में लेकर.
To make sure no one steals Jagannath's fruits or vegetables.
ये देखने के लिए कोई जगन्नाथ के फलों को या सब्जी को चुरा नहीं जाए.
And for those of you who have been to Puri, you know that the pujaris are very strict.
After Jagannath Puri jaa chuke hain, to jante hain ki pujari bahut strict hain.
Even in the middle of the day, to come into the temple, if you don't look a certain way, you will be beaten by sticks.
Aur agar din ke samay bhi agar aap ek roop mein dikhai nahi pad rahe, to aapko lakdi se peeta ja sakta hai.
So Murari said, "How is this possible? How will I get into the garden and how I will be arrested?" Jagannath said, "No, no. We will have a pastime together."
भगवान जगन्नाथ ने कहा, हम एक लीला करेंगे
साथ. I will go with you.
मैं आपके साथ जाऊँ.
Together we will steal nice jackfruits.
हम बहुत सुंदर फनस चुराएंगे.
So Murari said, "All right. You tell me what to do."
मैंने कहा, ठीक है, आप बताइए मैं क्या करूँ.
So Jagannath took the form of a little cowherd boy.
जगन्नाथ ने एक छोटे ग्वाले का रूप धारण किया.
And they entered into the garden.
और बगीचे में प्रवेश किया.
And what happened is, Jagannath climbed up a tree.
और जगन्नाथ एक वृक्ष ऊपर चढ़ गए.
And he started giving the jackfruits to Murari.
और वो पनस या मुरारी को देने लगे.
But Jagannath was making a lot of noise.
भगवान जगन्नाथ बहुत आवाज कर रहे
थे. Murari was trying to be very silent. As he knows that the guards will beat him.
मुरारी शांत रहने का प्रयास कर रहे थे, नहीं तो चौकीदार उनकी पिटाई करेंगे.
But Jagannath was making so much noise.
और भगवान जगन्नाथ बहुत आवाज कर रहे थे जोरों से.
He made so much noise that he woke up all the guards.
उन्होंने इतना आवाज किया सारे पहरेदार उठ गए.
So the guards understood someone is in Jagannath's garden.
So समझ गए कि कोई ना कोई है बगीचे में जगन्नाथ के.
So Jagannath filled Murari's hands with more and more jackfruits.
उन्होंने मुरारी के हाथों को बहुत सारे फनस से भर दिया.
Then the guards, they came running.
और वो चौकीदार भागते हुए आए.
They saw Murari with hands full of Jagannath's jackfruits.
उन्होंने देखा कि मुरारी के हाथ जो है सब फनस से भरे हुए.
And Jagannath disappeared.
भगवान जगन्नाथ भाग गए.
No one saw him.
वो किसने देखा ही नहीं.
So they said, "Ah, you have come into the garden. You are stealing Jagannath's jackfruits. This is a great, great offense."
और उन्होंने कहा कि देखो, ये बहुत जगन्नाथ के पनस चोरी कर रहे हैं, बहुत बड़ा अपराध है.
By the king of Puri's order, no one is allowed to take these jackfruits.
पुरी के राजा का आदेश है कि कोई व्यक्ति यहाँ से फणक को नहीं ले जा सकता।
You will be punished.
आपको सजा दी जाएगी।
He said, no, no. Jagannath told me to do it.
बोला नहीं नहीं मुझे तो भगवान जगन्नाथ ने बुलाया कर।
Look, he's up at the tree.
देखिए आप ऊपर हैं पेड़ के ऊपर वो जगन्नाथ।
He's right there in this tree. Look.
वो इसी पेड़ में जरा देखिए वहाँ पर।
They looked. There was no one on the tree.
उन्होंने ऊपर देखा और वहाँ कोई नहीं था।
So they understood. Not only are you stealing, but you are lying. In such a sacred place as Jagannath's garden, you are stealing and lying.
इतने पवित्र स्थान में आप जो है चोरी भी कर रहे हो और ऊपर से झूठ भी बोल रहे हो।
So they took all the jackfruits out of his hand and started beating him with sticks.
और उन्हें सब फणक ले और जोर से पिटाई करने लगे।
Then they arrested him.
उसको गिरफ्तार कर लिया।
And put him in prison.
उसको जेल में डाल दिया।
Then they took him to court.
Then उसको कोर्ट में ले गए।
He explained that actually Jagannath told me to do like this.
उसने बताया अदालत में कि मेरे को भगवान जगन्नाथ ने बोला ये करने के लिए।
They said, put him in prison and punish.
उन्होंने बताया कि उनको बताया गया कि इसको जेल में डाल दो।
When the king of Orissa, when he heard about this, he was very angry.
जब राजा ने सुना तो वो बहुत गुस्से हुए।
So Murari, he was in prison.
मुरारी जेल में थे।
And he was all beaten up.
और उनकी बहुत पिटाई की गई थी।
But he was happy.
वो बहुत खुश थे।
He was actually in ecstatic bliss.
वो तो बहुत दिव्य आनंद में थे।
He was thinking, Jagannath is allowing me to be part of this wonderful, wonderful pastime.
वो सोचने लगे कि भगवान जगन्नाथ मुझे सुंदर लीला में भाग लेने का अवसर दे रहे
हैं। He was so merciful.
वो मेरे पर कितनी दया कर रहे हैं।
I do not know what he's doing, but I know whatever he does is perfect.
मुझे पता नहीं वो क्या कर रहे हैं लेकिन जो भी कर रहे हैं वो पूर्ण है।
He always does what's right for his devotee.
वही करते हैं जो उसके भक्तों के लिए अच्छा है।
So he was very, very happily chanting Hare Krishna.
बड़े आनंद से हरे कृष्ण गा रहे थे।
Meanwhile, he was supposed to get very, very bad punishment.
और उस दरमियान उसको बहुत बुरी सजा होने वाली थी।
That night, before the punishment, Lord Jagannath appeared in dream of the head pujari.
और उस रात्रि को भगवान जगन्नाथ जो मुख्य पुजारी है उसके स्वप्न में आए।
And he said to him that Murari is bringing me jackfruits. I told him to bring me jackfruits.
और उनसे कहने लगे कि मुरारी जो है मेरे लिए फणक ला रहे थे मैंने उनसे लाने के लिए कहा था।
And you stopped him from giving me jackfruits.
और तुमने रोक दिया उनको मेरे को फणक देने से।
And the king's guards, they punished him.
और राजा के पहरेदार ने उनको सजा दी।
If you do not all free him immediately and surrender to him, then I will destroy the king, all the pujaris, and the whole town of Puri.
और अगर आप जाकर उनसे उनकी शरण में नहीं जाते तो मैं पूरे राजा को और पूरे पुजारी को और पूरी पूरी नगरी को नाश कर दूंगा।
So, when this news came to the king, he became very afraid.
राजा को समाचार मिलने पर वो घबरा गए।
The king and the queen and all the head pujaris, they all came and bowed down at the feet of Murari.
और राजा रानी और सब आकर जो है मुरारी के चरणों में प्रणाम करने
लगे। They all became his disciples.
वो तो उनके शिष्य बन गए।
And then Murari would teach them all the process of devotional service, pure devotions.
Murari Pushita Bhakti ka marg sikhane lage.
So Jagannath does like this.
Jagannath kaisa karte
hai? And now you have brought him in your home. So whatever he does now, it is the best thing.
Jo bhi wo karte hai, jana chahiye ki wo sarvottam cheez.
Always remain faithful.
Hamesha shradhalu rahiye.
Very pure.
And
regularly have nice events where you invite people, devotees and general public to come for the darshan of the Lord. This is most pleasing to you. And Jagannath Puri is very famous for prasad. And I think you are all remembering this aspect of Jagannath's
verse.
So I think we will finish here.
हम यहाँ पर अंत करें।
This evening we'll be having another satsang program।
और हम जो है शाम को एक सत्संग कार्यक्रम होगा।
We'll continue these talks at that time।
और हम उस चर्चा को उस समय जारी रखेंगे।
But until then, let us have arti or Balaram Subha. And let us through this process learn how to dedicate everything to the service and the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of
Godhead.
Morning 7:30.
Sri Kalapur Chaitra is one of the very sacred holy places of pilgrimage within this great land of Bharat Varsha.
Sri Kalapur Chaitra is one of the very sacred holy places of pilgrimage.
The Supreme Lord and His eternal consort, Sri Lakshmi Devi, perform their divine pastimes in this very special holy place.
भगवान और उनके जो शक्ति हैं लक्ष्मी देवी वो अपनी दिव्य लीला को यहाँ पर प्रकट करते हैं.
It was at the very beginning part of the Kali Yuga that this important historical event took place.
ये कलयुग के शुरुआत के भाग में था कि ये बहुत महत्वपूर्ण घटना घटी थी.
Great sages and rishis were gathered together.
बहुत सारे ऋषि और संत एकत्रित हुए थे.
To perform a yajna. But the question came about by the influence of Sri Narada Muni. Of all the great devas headed by Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, who is supreme? So Bhrigu Muni was elected unanimously to perform this test to see of these three great devas who is completely transcendent to the modes of material nature. He first went to Brahma Loka. His father, Lord Brahma, was very happy to receive him. But Bhrigu Muni purposely ignored him. So Brahma became very disturbed. But with his good intelligence, he did not say anything or do anything. But Bhrigu Muni could tell he was very disturbed. Then he went to Kailash Dham to meet his brother, Shankara Bhagavan. How happy Lord Shiva was to see his beloved brother Bhrigu Muni.
और उनके भाई जो इतने प्रसन्न हुए शिवजी भृगु मुनि को देखकर.
He got up along with Parvati, his consort, and was so eager to embrace him, to welcome him to his home.
वो अपने पार्वती देवी के साथ उठे और बड़े खुशी से उनको मिलना चाहते थे, घर मिलना चाहते.
But Bhrigu Muni, he would not tolerate this.
भृगु मुनि ये सहन नहीं किए.
हाँ, don't come near me.
मेरे पास मत आइए, बोले.
You associate with ghosts.
आप भूत प्रेतों का संग करते हैं.
You dwell in the filthy places where people's dead bodies are burnt.
आप जो है स्मशान घाट के पास
You smear those ashes on your body. You have dead, ignorant skulls decorating. You don't even comb your hair. You don't bathe properly. If you come near me, you will contaminate me. Lord Shiva was not approving these critical words. He picked up his trident to punish him. Parvati stopped him. Hare Krishna. Bhrigu Muni went to the Svaita Dvip planet of Lord Vishnu. Vishnu was lying on bed with Lakshmi Devi, who was massaging his lotus feet. Immediately, Bhrigu Muni ran right up to him and kicked him right in the chest. Bhrigu Muni with his foot kicked Lord Narayan in the chest. Lord Vishnu got up from his bed. Oh, Bhrigu Muni, I'm so sad and regretful that I did not properly receive you. I should have certainly been welcoming you with great honor. Please forgive me. And your lotus feet are so soft. And my chest is so hard. I think that maybe I have caused injury to your lotus feet. Then Vishnu sat Bhrigu Muni down on his own seat and started to massage his lotus feet. At this time, Bhrigu Muni could understand that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of God. Then he went back to report this to the sages. Throughout the universes, people were chanting the glories of Lord Vishnu. We should understand that Brahma and Shiva, they are not ordinary beings. They are divine personalities. But they were not overwhelmed by the modes of material nature in this leela. Rather, they purposely acted in this way just so that they could glorify Vishnu as the Supreme Lord. This is their glory. While the world was glorifying the attributes of Lord Narayan, Lakshmi Devi was feeling very bad. I have witnessed a very sinful activity. My husband, my consort, Lord Narayan, was kicked in the chest by a Brahmin for no reason at all. And I had to see the sinful act being performed. She told her husband that maybe you can tolerate this, but I cannot tolerate it. This is nature of great soul. A great soul can tolerate any injustice upon himself or herself, but will not tolerate injustice among that is inflicted upon a great Vaishnava or the Lord himself. We have seen this in many places in the holy scriptures. When Durvas Muni, when he insulted Ambarish Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj very humbly with folded palms was thinking, I deserve worse. But Vishnu could not tolerate this offense against his devotee. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that we should be humble like a blade of grass and tolerant like a tree. But it is intolerable to see a great devotee of the Lord or the Lord himself being offended. Lakshmi Devi is the supreme devotee. She is the absolute truth in playing the role of a devotee. So she explained to the Lord that I cannot live in Vaikuntha any longer after seeing this sinful act. I will go to the earth to perform tapasya, to atone for what I have seen. She came to Kolhapur. And here Mahalakshmi sat to perform very, very severe penances. And the Lord, he did no longer wanted to remain in Vaikuntha without her. He decided he would perform penances to get her back. He walked the whole earth and ultimately went to the place that is now called Tirumala, just on the hill above Tirupati. So this is a very long and wonderful story. But from that very ancient time, persons have come to Kolhapur to worship Mahalakshmi. In fact, even Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, who has appeared in the role of his own devotee in Kali Yuga, he came to Kolhapur, and in the presence of the beautiful deity of Mahalakshmi, he induced all the residents of Kolhapur to perfect their lives by chanting the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
At that time, all the streets of Kolhapur were filled with chanting and dancing. So we are very much feeling the blessing of Srimati Mahalakshmi Devi for allowing us to come to be with all of you this evening. Human form of life is meant for tapasya. It is never meant for sense gratification. Sense gratification is available for the dogs and hogs that eat stool. The human form of life is very rare. In this rare human life, the opportunity to revive one's eternal spiritual consciousness is provided. The difference between man and animal is this principle alone. That man can question his existence. The human being can experience a pleasure that is divine. The lower species are only seeking the pleasures that are temporary manifestations of the contact with the senses and their objects. Krishna says in Gita, they have beginning and an end, and an intelligent person does not take part in them.
Krishna
Today, human society, every aspect is centered around the pleasure of the mind and senses. But the soul is starving. There is a simple example our Guru Maharaj used to tell about a lady who had a bird in a cage. She spent so much money, so much time and energy decorating this cage. She invested huge sums of money in making this the most elegant cage. When one of her friends came to her house, she was very proud to show the cage. That person was horrified. The lady asked, "Why are you horrified? Don't you see the gold and the jewels and the rubies and the ribbons that are decorating this beautiful cage?" The lady said, "But what is the use? The bird inside is dead. The bird has starved to death. Why didn't you give the bird any food?" This is a simple story, but it is the story of practically all of our lives. This body is a cage, and within it is the spirit soul. And we are spending our whole life decorating this cage of a body. There are two bodies that are encaging the soul, the gross and the subtle. The gross is composed of the external elements of earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And the subtle body is the mind, intelligence, and the ego. Some people are different, under different qualitative modes of material nature, and their different combinations, are decorating or trying to satisfy themselves by serving either the gross or subtle bodies. But practically everyone is neglecting to give any nourishment to the soul. In fact, practically no one even knows what is the soul. Where is the soul? What does the soul have to do with me? What are the needs and desires of the soul? And how to fulfill them? When we begin to ask this question, then human life officially begins. Until we ask these questions, although in the human species, the quality of our life is not different than the animals. Brahma Sutra says, Athato Brahma Jigyasa. Now that you have attained this human life, inquire into the absolute truth. And who is the absolute truth? The absolute truth is him from whom everything emanates. What is our relationship with God? According to the holy scriptures, Jivara Swarupoi Krishnara Nityadas, we are the eternal servants of the Lord. The spirit soul is part and parcel of the supreme soul, Paramatma.
Atma jo hai, Paramatma ka ek ansh hai.
Qualitatively of the same nature, but quantitatively infinitesimal. As a ray of the sun is of the same quality as the sun, but still the ray is only a part and the sun is the whole. Similarly, Krishna is the complete whole. And we are all his parts. The nature of the part is to serve the whole. The body is whole. The hands, the eyes, the nose, the mouth, they are all parts of the body. If any part of the body tries to enjoy independent of the rest of the body, the whole body becomes diseased and that part becomes frustrated. But when the part, the hand, serves the function of the whole, then the hand is satisfied. So it is our nature to serve God. This is the meaning of Sanatana Dharma. Dharma means that which cannot be separated from one's own existence. The natural inherent quality of something is its dharma. The dharma of sugar is to be sweet. The dharma of a chili is to be hot. The dharma of every living being is to serve. This we will find universally. Everyone is serving. Either we're serving our family, or we're serving our nation, we're serving our employer, we're serving our customers, we're serving our mind or our senses. Everyone is involved in service. You cannot escape it. It's your nature. What is Sanatana Dharma? That is, what is our eternal occupational duty in service? To serve God. All other dharmas are temporary. When that inherent nature of the soul to serve God is misdirected to anything or anywhere else in forgetfulness of God, it is the cause of bondage and suffering. But when that same propensity to serve is directed toward the ultimate object of all service, Krishna, then the liberation of the soul and the ultimate fulfillment of the love of the soul is awakened. That is our purpose of life. And when we make this decision and have a firm commitment to it, then human life actually begins. Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam. Human life is especially meant for tapasya. Tapasya means that due to our conditioned state of consciousness, we are so much addicted to sense enjoyment. But when we tolerate those influences and engage in the service of the Lord, then we can achieve real happiness. The perfection of tapasya is not simply to make our mind and senses idle, but to utilize them in a positive way. There are three types of renunciation. Our Guru Maharaj gave a nice example. That if you see 100 rupees laying on the street, one person will look around to make sure no one is looking and steal it. That person is called a thief. The next person will see the 100 rupees and think, if I steal it, I will get sinful reaction, so I will leave it there and walk away. That person may not be incriminating any sins, but he has not done anything positive either. The third person will see the 100 rupee note on the street and find out who it belongs to and return it to him. Who is best? We will take a vote. Who votes for number one? Who votes for number two?
Number two,
who votes for number three?
Number three.
Pretty well. Similarly, everything in this world is the property of God. Proprietorship means control. What do we have control over? At the time of death, everything is taken away from us. And oftentimes, beyond our control, things are taken away even in this very life. If this body was really yours, if it was your property, you would say, body, no more disease. It would never get diseased again. You would say, hair, stay black. And not a single gray hair would ever come. You would say, eyes, see perfect. You'd never have to wear glasses. You would tell digestion, I like this halava, eat as much as you want. But you eat so much and then you get sick. You say, no more stool or urine. You'll never have to go to the bathroom again. So how much do you actually control these bodies? You'll say, no more old age. I want to stay 22 years old for the rest of eternity. But you're 22, and then you're 23, and then you're 24. And then you're 44, 54, 84, 104. And then in another body you become 22 again. So what to do? We are not the proprietors of these bodies. Krishna explains in Gita, I am time, the all-devouring controller of everything in this universe. Everything is his property. So if we try to take anything in this world for our own purposes, we are thief. And then we have some renunciates who say, I don't want anything of this world. There are some yogis, if you try to give them some donation, they will say, no, no, get it away. Because it's not mine, I don't want it. That is better than taking something and using it for the wrong purpose. But it is not the highest truth. A devotee practices what is called yukta vairagya. He understands everything is for the pleasure of the Lord, so let us use everything for the pleasure of the Lord. What is the difference between material and spiritual? Material is anything that we perceive without reference to its relation to God. Then spiritual means anything that is connected to the service of the Lord. The whole world is potentially spiritual. The word yoga in Sanskrit means to reunite the energy of the Lord with the energetic source. This microphone appears material. So many people are singing gazelles with microphones. So it is a material thing. Talking about materialistic romance affairs and everything like that. And on television, so many people are using microphones telling about the news of what's happening in this world, or discussing so many worldly subjects. However, when the microphone is used to glorify Krishna and the subject of service to Krishna, then that microphone becomes pure spiritual energy. Similarly, the home that you live in. If in your home you are living like cats and dogs, just eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, then it's like the nest of the bird or the cave of the lion. Maybe more decorated. But the principle is the same. But when in your home your family is chanting together the names and the glories of the Lord, offering your food to the deity of the Lord, taking his prasad, training your children to live pious devotional lives in faith of God, living together very pure and morally in a spirit centered around serving God, then your home becomes the spiritual world. And everything within your home becomes spiritualized. This is real tapasya. To always keep one's mind focused on Krishna is the most important activity in all of creation. Krishna says in the Gita, antakali chamame vasmaran matva kalevaram ya prayati samadbhavam yati nasyatra samshaya. And whoever, at the time of death, quits his body remembering me alone, at once attains my nature. Death will come eventually. If we can remember Krishna at that moment, then the soul is transported to its original home in Vaikuntha. But we cannot think of Krishna at the time of death unless we practice becoming attached to Krishna throughout our life. The process of becoming attached to Krishna is very simple. To become attached to those things which help us remember Krishna. The first is saintly people. Sadhus are not people who just dress a certain way or wear particular hairstyles. A sadhu is one who is honestly and earnestly, humbly serving the Lord in every way of life. A sadhu may be in saffron. A sadhu may be a politician or in business.
वो राजनीतिक भी हो सकता है, व्यापारी भी हो सकता है।
But that person is living in harmony with the truths of God.
वो भगवान के सत्य के अनुसार जीवन बिता रहा है।
To associate with such people opens the doors to liberation.
ऐसे व्यक्ति वासन करने से मुक्ति के दरवाजे खुल जाते हैं।
महात सेवन द्वारा महुएव मुक्तेस्त मोत्वरम योषित संग संगम। By associating with great souls, the doors to the spiritual world are opening before us. In such association, what do we find? We find the constant talking about the glories of the Lord and the glories of living in devotion to the Lord. There are great literatures, the Mahabharata, Ramayana, Srimad Bhagavat, Puranas, within all of these great scriptures. The Lord's glories are expounded. This is the subject matter of the discussions and the life of sadhus. They do not want anything for themselves. They want to help others to become happy in devotional life. The most important concern in our life should be to have that association. What you associate with, you become like that. If your children are associating with prostitutes, drug addicts, or alcoholics, or gangsters, you should be very worried that they will become like that. One of the most important responsibilities of a parent is to be very careful to see who their child is associating with. Because they will become like that. But so will we. Whatever we associate with, we take on those qualities. If you're associating with hearing the glories of Krishna's, the songs of Krishna's glories, then naturally, wherever you go, you'll be singing those songs. And if you're listening to all kind of cinema songs, popular songs, then your mind will be filled with those. If you're watching the television all about all kinds of fictitional entertainment, then your mind will be filled with the pictures in your heart of hearts. If you're hearing the katha about Krishna, Ram, or the glories of Bhagavad Gita, then naturally your mind will be filled with those thoughts. So it is very essential to associate with saintly people in our life. And in that association, we learn the process of purifying our hearts. This, in fact, is the key to all success in life. To purify the heart. Anything that is contaminated is the cause of disease and suffering. Contaminated water only causes disease. When the heart is contaminated by all kinds of selfish, egoistic attachments, it causes every kind of pain. How to clean the heart? To bring it back to its natural condition. The natural condition of the heart is to allow the soul's qualities to shine through it. The soul is part of God. The soul is pure, full of love, compassion, ecstatic bliss, full of knowledge of the qualities of God in a fragmental portion are present within your own soul. But those soul's qualities are covered by this dark, dark cloud of material attachments. So if we want to be happy, we will never find happy by making arrangements in this superficial world. You may be a poor man, and you may work like an ass, foaming at the mouth to make lots of money. And from your little straw hut, you may live in a beautiful palace. But that doesn't mean you'll be any happier. We don't see that rich people are any happier than poor people. In fact, they're usually more frustrated. Because the more you have, the more you have to maintain. You have to worry and fear. Life becomes full of complexities. Do you think the powerful people in this world are any happier than the simple people? Whether you're living in palace or under a tree, if you're happy within, you'll be happy. But if you're not finding happiness within your heart, you can give up your palace and live under a tree and you'll still be miserably thinking about what you had in your palace. If you're not finding satisfaction in your heart, you could move from under a tree to a big palace, but you'll always be thinking how I have to somehow or other get more to maintain what I have. Even if you're the king of the world, if somebody you love dies, or if a thorn goes in your foot, you're miserable. So we should understand real happiness has to come from within our own hearts, because that's where the soul is. And it's already there. It simply has to be uncovered. So instead of spending our entire human energy to accumulate more and more and more in this world of death, we should be using that same energy to uncover the ecstatic principle of love that is within our hearts. And one who lives by this principle is intelligent. And one who forgets this principle, even if they have 10 PhDs, they are ignorant of truth. When we're in the association of saintly people, we are naturally enthused and inspired to cultivate the spiritual propensities that are within us. That was just to wake up anyone who's falling asleep. That's the whole message of all the scriptures, to wake up. You see how sound vibration has that power to wake us up. When that noise came, everyone was awake. In the morning, you set your alarm clock. Depending on what mode of nature you're in, you set it for a particular time, and then it goes off, and you wake up. It is through sound vibration that we wake up the sleeping soul. It is through sound vibration that we cleanse the heart of this dark cloud of material ignorance and attachment. In the association of devotees, we are inspired to keep that sound vibration always cleansing our hearts. And in this age of Kali Yuga, the sound vibration is so readily available to everyone and anyone. All you have to do is accept it. Kali Kali Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar. Krishna has descended in his name in the age
Hare Krishna.
Krishna has descended in his name in this age of Kali Yuga. No doubt that we are not using the ultimate facilities of technology to broadcast this lecture tonight. But whatever we have, we use it. And whatever we don't have, we don't use it. But we all have one thing. We have the opportunity to perfect our lives by chanting this Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna. So here in Kolhapur, Goddess Lakshmi is sitting performing tapasya. And she's giving blessings to everyone. When you go to visit Mahalakshmi's mandir, she's giving you a blessing. The blessing is, be happy. Engage in the loving service of my Lord Sri Krishna. And perform the most sublime of all tapasya, the chanting of the holy names. There is no sacrifice, no austerity that is more relevant in this age of Kali Yuga. In Satya Yuga, what you would have to do to attain love of God is you would have to completely control your mind and senses and total celibacy, living in the caves of the mountains for 60,000 years in meditation. In Treta Yuga, you would have to perform elaborate yajnas, Aswamedha Yajna, Gomedha Yajna. You would have to be a multi-billionaire to perform even one such yajna. In the Dwapara Yuga, you would have to perfectly follow all the rules and regulations of worshipping the deity in the temple so perfectly to achieve the perfection of love of God. Kamera dosa nide rajan asti eko mahan guna kirtana deva krishnasya mokta sangha param brajait. This age of Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, but there's one benediction. Anyone, everyone, man, woman, child, from any caste, from any nationality, from any income bracket, from any educational qualifications, everyone and anyone can attain the supreme perfection of liberation by sincerely chanting the holy names of Krishna.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.
living a life in a spirit of service and devotion. If we are not living a life in a spirit of service and devotion, our chanting will have minimal effects. These two principles are so essential. Living a pure, simple life in the spirit of service. And chanting God's holy name. This is the benediction Lakshmi Devi is giving all of us. Because by simply doing this in this one life, no more birth, no more old age, no more disease, no more death. In this very life, the illustrious light of divine love for Krishna awakens within our heart. And we can give charity of that great treasure to everyone we meet. To our family members, our friends, to the world. We're all looking for that happiness. If we search for what we're looking for, where it is, we'll find it. If we search for what we're looking for in the wrong place, we'll never find it. We're all looking for happiness. Real happiness is in the soul's love for Krishna and in the soul's desire to show compassion to all living beings. But when we look anywhere else, we will be frustrated. So let us use all the wonderful gifts of this world for that service. And keep our minds focused and pure through hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord and the association of the Lord's devotees. Then it is simple. Kolhapur is such a wonderful place. And my humble experience is the people of Kolhapur are very special. They're quite simple and inclined toward religion. You are very fortunate. We have come to try to serve you by sharing this divine mission, this divine message. There's a beautiful story. Lord Krishna, when he was just a little child, he was living in Gokul, Vrindavan. And a lady came to Gokul selling fruits. She called out, "Does anyone want to buy my fruits?" I think he must have been a fruit seller. So Krishna, he wanted some fruits. So in those days they didn't have money. They would barter with grains. Little Gopal would see Yashoda Mai take handfuls of grain and trade them for other things. He was a little baby. He filled his hands with grains. He was very excited to get fruit. With his beautiful little legs, he ran. And he came to the fruit vendor and said, "Please give me fruit." All that was left was hardly one or two grains, because all the grains fell from between his fingers while he was running. For the fruit vendor, there was nothing to gain. However, she was so captivated by Krishna's beauty. Although a little child, he had a complexion which was like a newly formed monsoon rain cloud. His eyes were like fully blossomed lotuses. And his glance was full of love. His hair was like the feathers of a clustered crow's tail coming around his beautiful, beautiful face. And every limb, every soft, tender limb of his body was more charming than all the opulences of Kamadeva in this world. She just wanted to make this child happy. So she started giving him all the fruits she could give him. His little arms, she filled them with the best, choicest fruits that she had. My child, please enjoy all these fruits. Krishna's arms were full. And he ran away. Her heart was charmed with love. She turned around to her basket. There were no fruits in her basket. There was gold, silver, diamonds, rubies, emeralds. The most valuable jewels. What is the lesson of this story? If you please Krishna, you'll never be the loser. If you please Krishna, you will gain hundreds and millions of times over. The real treasure of life is not the things of this world. The Purushartha Siromani, the crest jewel of all jewels, is to love Krishna. That will give you eternal happiness. And when you give that treasure in charity, there's no end to how much joy you and others will experience. No doubt, that fruit vendor, she was not attached to that basket full of jewels. She was attached to Krishna. The great jewel. The shining jewel who illuminates our hearts. Dispels all darkness. So let us try, in whatever humble way we can, to please Krishna. And always know that nothing pleases him more than the offenseless and sincere crying out of his holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki Jai. Shri Kaulapur Chaitra ki Jai. Nitai Gauravanandi. Thank you very much. Is there any questions?
Is there any question?
Hare Krishna. Why is light associated with the sun? Because light is the energy of the sun. They are inseparable. Srimati Radharani is the Ladini Shakti, the pleasure potency, the divine energy of Lord Krishna.
Srimati Radharani is the Ladini Shakti.
That divine energy is spiritual bliss and devotion. She is the embodiment of such bliss and devotion. And you cannot approach Krishna except through the bliss and devotion that she awards you when you appeal to her by your sincere prayers. Krishna is the supreme object of love. Srimati Radharani is the supreme lover. Without her mercy, you can gain no love for Krishna. Hare Krishna. When we chant this Maha Mantra, Hare is the name of Srimati Radharani. Krishna's name is Hari, which means he steals away the hearts of those who turn to him with devotion. But Radharani's name is Hare, because by her devotion she steals away Krishna's heart. She is the Supreme Mother. Krishna is the Supreme Father. They are inseparable. When Krishna expands himself into Narayan, Srimati Radharani expands herself as Lakshmi. Within this universal creation of the material world, when the Lord manifests, expands himself as Shiva, Radharani expands herself as Durga. Well, we are not concerned with the material benedictions of this world. We want the treasures of the spiritual world, which are now within our own heart in a dormant state. Therefore, we must call upon Sri Radha and Sri Krishna by the chanting of this Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna.